This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to Free Left Turn, a left wing perspective here on 89.0 Independent Community. Oh, morning, you're off the mark. You're off the mark, Mick. Yeah. Good morning, Fred.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Yeah. Top of the morning to you.
Yeah, it's top of the sun's trying to come out.
On this nearly last day of autumn, 1st of May is officially winter.
First of June.
Yeah. Bah humbug.
Yeah. Well, here in the Waikato, we've had a wonderful run of fine weather, haven't we?
It's been amazing.
But
it can't last indefinitely.
And
unfortunately, we don't want it to last then, because otherwise, if we don't get the rainfall and the snow melt, then the hydro dams can't
generate power.
Which we have an insatiable demand for.
Oh, and we need the water table to come up.
In the Northern Hemisphere, they're having a heat wave in spring.
35 degrees in London.
Wow. Yeah.
33 degrees in the Midlands.
Yeah. Some people are...
Sunburnt?
No. Drowned, actually, because of... because the water's still fairly cool and it's been quite hot. They jump in.
They have a heart event.
Another problem I've had is a lot of old people, because the houses are designed to retain heat, not deflect it. And so a lot of older people are snuffing it. I think lost 10,000 something like last year or the year before. And the water supply is not universal in certain areas.
Yeah.
Built houses but no water supply.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you would use the other analogy about water over there.
Yeah.
Well, it goes even if they're not using water from rivers or lakes.
They're having to buy bottled water.
Yeah, okay, you're relying on your water table and often for aquifers, et cetera, for to find the water.
And you've got a huge population, so demand.
Water use, yeah.
It's astronomical.
Yeah, et cetera.
Yeah, we had an issue with the water yesterday at home. The water was off from about before 6 o'clock yesterday morning till about after 12, I think.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. There was a major blowout on Kekere Drive, and I think there was also a major leak on Wickham Street.
Infrastructure failing, isn't it?
Under pressure.
Yeah, more ways than one.
More ways than one.
And they have got a big program to redo the pipes and that, I see. But, of course, it's a big city. They can't do it all at once. It
comes at a huge cost.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. But we're going to start off on an irritate the Tory note.
Just a New Zealand Herald today, Saturday, May the 30th, 2026. Ardern Doco wins Emmy. A documentary about former New Zealand Prime Minister Dame Jacinda Ardern has won the prize for the best documentary at the 2026 News and Documentary Emmy Awards. The production also took home the award for outstanding politics and government documentary at Thursday's event in the United States. This is reported by Variety.
Congratulations, Dame.
The prize bet other docos like Black Snow, Hurricane Katrina, Race Against Time, Life After 2,000 Metres. So it had some competition. Sounds like, I don't know much about it, but it sounds like these awards just are about the ceremonies, just about news and documentary.
Right.
So it's not actually the Emmys as such.
Yeah.
It's just a tag on somehow. But Jacinda Ardern in here, she said, Ardern spoke during an interview for the Sundance Film Festival shortly after she saw the film for the first time. I cried through most of it, and I'm not sure if that's equivalent to laughing at your own jokes. I was very emotional watching it. I credit the storytellers for it. So, and the movie is at the doco is called Prime Minister. So I haven't seen it. I've seen it, but it sounds like it's a good watch. And her husband did some of the footage for it and all that. Yeah, because he's always dabbled in a bit of TV and
production. So this
I imagine it's been in New Zealand, has it?
I was just going to ask. I don't know. Has it been on general release or is it like a film festival?
Movie. But anyway, that's you know, I still think there's so much what he called misogyny and anti her. I'm not sure if it was because of the Christchurch's atrocity and her showing public sympathy, which it well should have, towards the Islamic communities, etc. Or it's to do with the COVID response, even though we had the less deaths than most countries in the world, percentage-wise. But, yeah, there's a real... And that's why she's not doesn't live in New Zealand, of course.
Because of the hate. Some of the hatred is extreme in its nature.
Yeah. So if this gets up the nose of a few people that don't like her... So
the Tories will be reading their Herald by having their lattes, and they get their page going...
They'll have a bit of a cough. And the other thing on the same page is Kitty Allen. We all knew about Kitty Allen because she was the Labor Minister for Climate at one stage and Justice Minister. And she's getting her life back on track, basically, the article. She had a cancer event, and then she had a, got in trouble with the law over drink driving or something, and then she got a hard time, basically, and so she left.
But so she's getting her life back on track.
Very well, and she says she's happy, so that's what you want, you know. So
well, you wish that for anybody, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Regardless of the colour of their living.
So that's all the good news I have.
Wow.
Where shall I start on the bad news?
But I think I still got this image of these irritated Tories, and they see that article.
Right.
I like that image.
Yeah.
Anything that spoils their latte.
Choke on that, you buggers.
So what do you guys think of the budget?
Oh, what I interpret as the bludget.
Budget's always mixed bag.
Well, it seemed to be a bit of quackery and a bit of naysaying.
Some people get something out of it, and other people don't. And there's always justification sometimes for why people don't always get what they think they ought to. But I think you guys were talking before we came in here about Linda Topp talking about.
Yeah, that was actually a
good... About the lack of support for the arts.
And she was quite... Well, she just lost her sister this week. And so emotions would have been running pretty high. And she didn't mince her words, to be frank. But what I got out of it is why there's so much money for defence no money for arts. Your description off air, Fred, was actually good about the sorts of people who look at the arts.
It's a budget, and you can't spend money here, but it's still an austerity budget. It's for some, and then we'd rather have some navy boats, etc., rather than actually. But we'll put the rent up on the poor and social housing and things like that. It just seems. Come on, what's our priorities? We just seem to be a little America's poodle, you know. Yeah. So are we really going to defend ourselves or our enemy?
Well, we're going down the law and order track.
Police,
more prisons,
more navy ships, more everything.
Yeah, that's what somebody else observed about the budget. There's a lot more money for corrections.
So it's a typical law and order, rah, rah, rah.
Ignoring the fact that they've created the problem in the first place.
Exactly. I think even the Tories I've spoken to said it was just a sort of a nothing in it budget, just whatever.
What more do they want?
But it certainly didn't help any of the poor by the looks of it, you know. So
because they talked about one of the things that came out and it was mentioned yesterday. I should have actually brought the stuff with me. I did it, but I forgot. It was the automated decision making component for MSD.
AI.
That's all to do is AI for. some benefit decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Yeah.
And they're talking about introducing it in health.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And having AI do the note taking, so it saves the practitioner's time. Yeah, but mental health too.
Yeah, and it is AI is a fact of life. It's how we deal with it and how
mm-hmm.
we.
I don't have a problem with AI. No, not all per se. It's the people in charge, the people who control it,
and their
aims or
what they.
But the scary things in here was is, you know, they're talking about saving sound right. Yeah, we need to save this off this department and that. But who does it affect when you do these savings? And it's usually the same group of people who are affected.
The poor and the vulnerable.
The marginalised. So, you know, when you say, yeah, we're going to be more efficient and we're going to save $354 million on social housing and welfare.
Which is good, but then where does that money go?
And are they efficient?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, education is saving $354 million. Social housing and welfare is saving $214 million. You know, housing, $92 million. I wonder if that $92 million, I wonder if that adds into what was the woman's name that is getting the $1,000 a week?
Minister of Social Development, Louise Stuckupston.
I wonder out of that $92 million, is she going to pay that back, or she?
No, she's an entitlement, isn't it? She's self entitled.
It's legal. You know, it's not legal.
Self entitlement. Sorry.
I often don't look in the right places where they could be making savings.
Trimming their perks, for example.
It's
$1.3 billion for law and order.
But I think there was a lot more for corrections, wasn't there?
No, I'm just trying to think. $7 billion in infrastructure investment.
Well, that's for many things.
Taxes, inflation to get government to surplus.
Mm.
Super gold card to get a facelift. 900,000 New Zealanders over 65 to upgrade to a version of the super gold card that will have photo ID. It will cost $42 million.
I was speaking to some, you know, going back to this ADM or this automated decision making stuff. I was speaking to somebody I know from work from Ministry of Social Development later in the week, and he said I couldn't get hold of these two people because they were doing particular training in this.
I see health and education's because they say that schools, hospitals, and motorists. Well, the winners of this financial budget, health and education spending will be $309.6 million from a budget. It's on the face of it sounds a lot of money, but then when you spread it out over 4 years,
and every
school that soon reduces, doesn't it?
Although I like when you come when you mentioned talk about education, there was this hoo-ha about homeschooling and they were going to do this and that.
Right.
But there was a big loud noise from the homeschool group and an old Stanford had to back down over that whole thing. But I know there was supposed to be a review into it.
I was talking about, I've got child poverty targets. The government's on track to miss its three main child poverty targets, which are set for 2028. Although child poverty metrics improved slightly this year, this is what I don't like. Willis said the government wanted to improve opportunities for parents to work.
You got to find the jobs.
What does that mean?
Yes, you could read an awful lot into that
sentence.
We'll help you. Yeah, we'll chuck you off the benefit, so you've got to go and get a poor-paid job.
Which probably pays less than a.
Apparently, they're going to increase taxes on banks.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Government announced a handful of tax hikes. First levies on banks, non-bank deposit takers, insurers and other financial market participants to help cover the cost of the Reserve Bank, which is their regulator. $200 million in revenue will be raised, represents less than 1% of the profits of the big four banks alone.
Yes. That's a big, huge, hurtful thing, isn't it?
Not.
1%. And $7 billion for infrastructure.
Yeah, I see from a political angle there, I see they've they were going to do a referendum on 4-year terms for Parliament, and they're not proceeding with it, saving themselves $25 million, which was interesting.
Not far-sighted enough, is it?
No.
Yeah.
They've got a rainy day fund for fuel crisis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for their mates in the trucking industry. Yeah,
$450 million will be salted away to be used if the crisis caused by Iran worsens.
Caused by Iran, that's caused by Israel and America.
Let's be real.
That's what it says.
Yeah, I know. And that's what really irks me, is that everything's lazy about the Iran war. It's lazy and it's misinterpretation. Yeah. This was Israel and America attacking Iran.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not in a war situation. They just attacked it.
Yeah.
And now we're sold the Iran war.
Yeah, I said...
It's the Iran punishment. Really, they're punishing Iran.
They're trying
to punish Iran. Oh, they have punished Iran. They've killed how many people? Civilians, girls, kiddies?
God knows.
Yeah.
Of course, we talked about for last week was the tax rebates for multi-property owners.
At the same time,
people in social housing had their rents increased from 25% to 35%.
30%. Yeah.
From their benefit.
Yeah, 30%, They won't like that at all, some of the people I deal with. They'll say bloody winds.
Yeah.
Will they turn that into voting?
That's highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it.
Lots of people grizzle, but they won't actually try and do anything about it or participate.
This is the things in my job I have to put up with.
Yeah.
I say people will say, well, oh, we're going to change you're going to increase your income-related rent, okay. We're going to trim off your access to what they call temporary additional support, because those seem to be the two things that are coming up.
Right.
And people say, all they can say is what I said before about work and income.
Yeah, but they don't see it as a political decision.
No, they don't see it at all.
They don't understand that the person
working in the Wind's office is just meat and a sandwich. They blame them. They're following policy.
Do they understand that?
No.
No, they don't.
No, so they're hating down on Wind's, and yet it's actually a group of well-off people making those decisions.
But the people in the government are counter easy targets.
The person
who's responsible stuck up in the beehive somewhere.
Yeah. Person will go into work and income office angry that, oh, you cut my bloody benefit.
Of course, they don't. But will they turn that around to the MP and go and see their MP about it?
No, they won't.
No. They'll grizzle to you, they'll grizzle to, and worse, to Wins.
Yeah.
And then, but will they go to the MP? Will they write to Nicola Willis?
No.
She won't be there because she'll be taking the kids to the movies today. Because this budget won't affect her at all.
No.
She's always been able to take her kids to the movies.
Yeah, because she got a rate rebate too.
She's privileged. How much does she earn as a cabinet minister?
It's all perfectly legal.
Yeah. Well, of course it is. They're not doing anything wrong.
But they don't.
Do they look at themselves and go, am I paying my fair share towards our society? Do they actually wake up in the morning?
They don't have any trouble going to bed and sleeping.
No.
They have no scruples at all.
Well, they do, because they don't know which bed they're going to sleep in, because often they're at the beach house.
Too many properties.
Oh, to have that sort of problems. Shall I take my flowery pillow or my feather down pillow? Oh, sorry, I don't mean to have a connotation with the duck comment. Yeah. Quack, quack.
Yeah, so it's a benefit to the few and less to the majority.
Yeah. That's what it is, eh?
And people should
be, irate about certain things in there.
It's just austerity,
and austerity gets you nowhere in the end.
Well, austerity only affects the same people
we're talking about. They've been targeted. Yeah.
Belt tightening is for not me.
Not for me.
Yeah. Because these people are not definitely tightening their belts.
No.
No,
you know, they're laughing all the way to the bank.
And they're looking after their donors.
Mm. So the response
the members
from
of the country club.
Yes.
Going on to that, mate, you got about the response from Labour. Is it coming or is it here or where they're heading?
This is someone I wouldn't normally agree with. This is a guy called Jonathan Ayling. He's a strategy consultant, professional director. He's the former chief executive of the Free Speech Union, New Zealand, an ACT Party supporter and donor, and has worked as a ministerial staffer and senior parliamentary advisor in both government and opposition. However, he puts the case that Labour is in danger of following the example of Keir Starmer's approach to their 2024 election, where people in the UK were so fed up with the Tories, 14 years of Tories and multiple leaders, they didn't really have to contest the election. They just relied on people's antipathy towards the Tories. But He makes an interesting case that Labour is pursuing a different path. The coalition government is enacting the platform they were put before voters.
Mm,
and both New Zealand First, ACT, and a national put forward policies up for public debate or just announcing them. Labour's pursuing a different path. The public's more likely to vote out the government than to vote in the opposition, especially when the public mood is negative. Recent polls show a majority of New Zealanders believe the country is heading in the wrong direction, while fewer than one third say it's heading in the right direction. But what looks like tactically clever may become strategically costly later. There is a difference between a strategy that helps a party win an election and one that prepares it to govern. The experience of the British Labour Party offers this warning. 2024, Sir Keir Starmer did not need to inspire Britain to win. After 14 years of the Tories, voters were exhausted. Labour's task was not to generate national enthusiasm or even debate, but to appear stable, moderate and less chaotic than the people it sought to replace. And that's, I think he's described what I've been thinking for some time, that Labour's been incredibly, what's the word, quiet or muted?
Muted would be a word, yeah.
Given some of the announcements the government's made about policies and change of laws, and I think that he might be right that they're following along the line of people vote for us because we're...
If we don't say anything, we won't get in trouble.
We're not as bad as these people in power.
Yeah, which is, let's face it, that's a standard political ploy.
That's a danger, though, isn't it?
The Democrats have done that and are doing this right now in America. They're quite happy to that Trump's getting dumped on, but they're just relying on the fact they're going to get elected because no one likes Trump.
Again, by default, But he finishes the article by saying, Labour cannot defend its ideas in opposition. Why, if Labour cannot defend its ideas in opposition, why should voters trust it to enact them in the next government? That's the point he's making. So I have to say, I do agree with this guy's article. I haven't gone through the whole thing because it's too long. But the general gist, I thought... Yeah, that describes what I've been thinking about what Labour is or isn't doing.
Yeah, in response to that, they have going to do lots of...
But it's very light, though.
Yeah, but in June they're going to put out their portfolio of manifesto. So,
well, I hope they do.
I'm sure they will.
One would hope, but their track record at the moment doesn't fill me with confidence.
Yeah, and I also wonder how much, what gets the media time and what doesn't. Who controls
it? There's element of that, but then in this day and age of social media, I'm sure...
Yeah.
But they're going to have to do something. They can't just sit back and say, we didn't get much coverage in the newspapers or whatever. They're going to have to get off their chuffs. They're going to have to get off their chuffs.
Yeah.
Demand attention.
But who's winning the media battles, really? The media has been controlled by Winston Peters.
Yeah.
Whether we like him or not.
Yeah.
He's got them.
Yeah, but if Labour doesn't do anything by standing up and saying we're going to stand on this issue or that issue, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you're saying, don't say anything and we won't get into trouble.
Well, and the danger...
It's not exactly a recommendation.
The danger is for us on the left is what could well happen is the Nats could lose some votes. And the way they're going, they will lose some votes. But if Labour doesn't pick them up, when he comes through the middle and he picks up voters from National, but he also picks up what I call racist votes from
Labour.
From the left.
Labour.
You know, and ends up being the kingmaker again. And then he goes, no, well, my kin is really... more of the right than the left, and we've suddenly got another Tory government.
Yeah, and that's the
major... With him being even more powerful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I hope we don't.
And that could happen. That could well happen.
I hope the Labour doesn't go follow... Because didn't they go... Shortly after Keir Starmer got voted in, didn't Chris Hipkins and somebody's went over there to...
Yeah, I think they did.
...to have a strategy meeting on how to win an election?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was no strategy there.
But the other real problem we have, which isn't still just... We're still talking about the voters. There's still, 40% of the population doesn't vote.
They're not enrolled or don't vote.
Yeah, it's huge. And so, of course, Labour has to...
Well, they're competing for the same pool of swing voters.
Exactly.
That all the other parties are competing for.
Well, you should be incentivising those who don't vote or not enrolled to get enrolled and vote.
Well, see, so now we're all parties are targeting the 10% that tend to move between the parties. And my Tory mate told me this. He said... He thinks National's losing those 10% elections.
Yeah, but where's that 10% going to go? Yeah,
well, the danger is they'll go to New Zealand First. Well, the reality is they'll go to New Zealand First.
See, yesterday I got a political leaflet shoved in my mailbox.
From?
Georgie Danzy, candidate for... and she's got some clinics.
Yeah.
And she's down to the temporary library in the gardens, Chartwell and Ratatuna.
Yeah.
No other libraries mentioned. Yeah. Come and meet me. I'm thinking...
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
And some of those people we talked about who don't vote, they're not going to make the effort
to vote.
To what? To go, to drive or bus over there to these meetings.
The only way you're actually going to get those people to meet them is actually you've got a door knock.
You've got to go in those areas where.
Door knock,
But I say, the real issue is, sure, enrolment, but the bigger issue in that is how do you get people who are disenfranchised, in other words, they don't know how anything works, how do you get them to want to vote?
Yeah, that's the incentive.
The only way to get them to vote is there has to be a difference. There has to be a meaningful point of difference. Result.
Not just words, but action. And we're not going to fight for the same 10% that everybody else is.
No, we've got to have
that point of difference.
Because a lot of these people don't vote. I don't think they realise that they're in the majority as far as numbers go.
So there's an awful lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they all got together,
it's a big chunk.
Voting block, you know. That's.
But don't forget, we've also got. The people that often the status quo are quite happy that people don't vote.
Of course.
I used to hear that when I was a kid. The thing for when Tory households was, oh, let's hope it's a rainy day on election day because it's first past the post. Mm. And they said, and the voter turnout would be low for Labour, which it often was if you got a wet day. You know, that was the reality, especially in first past the post places. And it still is. You look at Māori electorates, etc. The turnout is awful.
Because
Party Māori and all this, but the turnout is still
appalling.
Appalling.
Yeah.
So how do you get that to change?
And
given the politicians' track record, it hasn't fired people up with confidence, has it?
No.
Isn't it almost though that the world of politics and what we talk about and all this is just above their heads? They're just not able to know what goes on, not interested in passing the buck,
the responsibilities on people you're not voting for. The system's broken. What's the point? But if you don't participate,
well, just hands it to the status quo.
And you'll remain where you are.
But you're abrogating your responsibility. If you want things to change, then you've got to participate.
But isn't the irony is the same people who often do that? I'm not going to vote. They're all a waste of time. Then when something goes up and they go into wins, this is not fair. That's exactly what we're talking about. They don't make the connection.
But then you've got some, shall I say, blue friends.
Yeah,
you're acquainted with.
And relations.
And then you apparently said that they were less than enchanted with, was it Luxon you were talking about?
Yeah.
And I said to you, but they'll still vote him in.
Well, they'll still vote a monkey in if they... they may vote a duck in. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to be... In case there's a coup in the national government.
I don't know what you have to do to try and galvanise people. I do think the opposition party should be making an effort to canvass these, go into these areas where it's notoriously low voter turnout and try and engage with the locals about issues that are important to them.
Instead of issues that they...
When there were strong unions, there was... I don't know the percentages, but when I was young, the unions would basically, usually the Labor Party, of course, they would go outside the freezing works at Mordawa and places like that. And they'd basically tick everyone off to say, oh, that family voted and all. Before you go down to the... Don't forget to vote. But see, that's gone. Unions don't have the same strength and Labor doesn't have the numbers to cover it.
So you need a different strategy.
Yeah. So you've got to either target certain areas to try and...
Try and
make a difference.
And then there's the comprehension thing that I always harp on about. Just because people can see me read doesn't mean they can comprehend what they're doing. So going into a voting pool on your own with no one to help you is a scary thing for a lot of people. And you might be going in there going, you know, I'm a tough guy, etc.
On your own in the booth,
you don't want to be showed up that you...
Don't know what to do. You can't read.
You can't read. I've seen that a lot. Because when I was, scrutineering, et cetera, people, the ones that come in, some of them were so intimidated because they didn't really understand what they were doing.
I think I told you guys that recently I got in touch with the Electoral Commission to see if I was still on the register.
Okay.
I am.
Yeah.
Because there was an episode of that woman last year.
Oh, yeah.
She was on the electoral roll and it turned out she went to vote through a glitch, the name had been taken off it.
Okay.
So she couldn't vote.
Okay.
So I wanted to avoid that, and I recommend people just, and it takes about 5 minutes. I think I rang them up in the end.
Yeah.
It took 5 minutes to check, verify my details. Yeah, you're on the, you're on the roll. Yeah,
I've got the end off. I've got the option envelope sitting there. I'm still deciding whether to go on the general or Māori rail. So
yeah, you got till August, I think.
Yeah.
So. Don't lose it though, right?
Yeah, no. Don't lose your right.
Not on the table. Not on the table.
I sort of know. I know the direction it is.
You've got a homing device on it.
Right. And I'm still. Even if I didn't do anything and lost it, I'd still be on the general roll. It's whether I choose to go in the Māori roll.
So, as I said, you got this leaflet in your letterbox, Mick.
Yeah, your political leaflet. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was saying that she'd meet you here, and here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe I'm in the area. I could be door knocking in your area. Here.
Mm. Right.
Might be a.
What's her name? What's the name of
Georgie? So Central Library, does that come under Hamilton West?
Central Library. Yes, Gun Place.
As far as the constituents, that fall under Hamilton West?
Oh, physically it would be Hamilton West.
Yeah.
Right, okay,
but you'll have people come across the river to go to the library there,
Yeah.
I've got some good news on libraries. And disclaimer, I have got an interest in the ongoing Hillcrest Library.
You mean your bio?
From a fatherly perspective, but good news.
That's even worse, paternal.
Yes, I have a paternal interest. Good news is that the council has decided to rebuild the Hillcrest Library.
Yeah, because that was last August it went up.
Oh, it's been a long time in coming, the decision.
Yeah.
You know, which is still.
And I really thought, given the time it's taken, I thought that might be the end of it.
But
it's good that they're going to.
And the blurb, the announcement I read was basically we realised the importance to the local community.
Not just the library
is used for community. All sorts of community events.
Yeah, that's good. Congratulations. Well, so, the council for.
On the same site?
Yeah, and they were actually, you know, they've got to talk about, oh, you know, you shouldn't spend money, but actually it was on the long term plan to make the library bigger, et cetera. Anyway.
Okay, so they've dovetailed in with.
I don't think they're going to go as big as they were originally planned, but they are. Libraries are great facilities.
Yeah, that's good news.
Good for community meetings and stuff like that.
It was well patronised. Every time I went in the library, there was always some sort of group going on.
Or something went going on.
There's kiddies being there, or there's new migrant groups.
Well, that's good.
And you say the libraries would help you with little stuff, but they could help you with your phone if it broke down, or your computer or something, just to give you advice, fix it, because let's face it, often it's not actually a wire broken, it's just we push the wrong buttons as old people,
and we need to get back. Do lobby staff help people with, say, filling out the application form to vote? Not the actual vote in itself, but show people how to navigate.
Well, I imagine so.
That would be
an excellent service.
Yeah, and so should WINS.
They should be on that.
I'm a real fan that WINS. Part of you being a recipient of anything.
Well, they've got all the information there anyway.
Yeah. And they should know where you live. If you're getting a benefit, you're meant to have an address.
Yes.
So they can check with Benny or Mary or Freddie.
They've got all the info.
Yeah. And, okay, how you register. I see you're not registered. And they should be able to connect it with technology and AI now.
It could be just a click of a button.
Yeah.
But the fly in the ointment for that is...
It's politics.
Yes, it's politics. Also to do with cutting out the public service.
Yep. Yeah, but it's also probably above that is there'd be a certain political interest don't actually want Benny and Mary to be registered.
Yeah.
You know, that's the real truth. They say that, they don't even pretend it. They just, let's not go there, because they don't vote, that helps us.
Are they the same people who would be irritated by that article?
Yeah. So that's good news on the library. For take, you know, it could be a couple of years away yet, but they're going to maintain the temporary library at the gardens in the meantime. Yeah.
That is good news. I would love to hear a bit of like that sort of stuff.
Community good news? Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise it's all too negative.
Yeah.
Well, it's very difficult in this world to find anything meaningfully positive that's not vomit-inducing.
Yeah, we've seen that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we also heard of scandal or...
Scandal?
Perceived scandal in the Prime Minister's office.
Ooh. What was that?
Do tell.
There was a meeting...
Oh, it's Dutch Union season, isn't it?
No, it's actually to do with what had happened in the Prime Minister's office and meetings between two vested interests, Fonterra and Z, and a member of the Prime Minister's office.
Oh, when, when are you talking about? Recently?
Climate change briefing, apparently. Okay,
about a month ago or something.
Yeah, and there was there's no paper trail.
Oh, that's a coincidence.
So it wasn't done at the at the beach house or the lake house. This was actually done in the office.
But it sounds like
that's a surprise because usually
I'm surprised. I'm surprised they're in the office at all.
Yeah. They could be at the golf club.
So it's supposed to do with
climate change and the
of their impact on the, these companies
on the businesses.
Yeah, the big businesses. Given what happened previously with Mike Smith and his legal challenge against five companies over affecting the health of their emissions were affecting the health of people.
And
government wanted to block that, and now we get this comes out that they say they had this secret meeting, and the law was changed in their favour.
So is anyone following it up to?
The only group of people who are that I know of who have put a great effort in discussing this, following it up, is a big hairy news pair. Of Pat Brittenden and Chewy.
And
it just smells of corruption.
You can see that. Actually, what's it called?
Big Hairy News or BHN.
So you look that up on YouTube. They usually have quite good, interesting guests and that.
Yeah.
And left-wing. They're definitely left-wing perspective.
Right. Yeah.
But they usually have some... Yeah,
those two, they have others there, but I don't find them as... not quite listenable types of people, but those two are that I mentioned are.
They seem to keep abreast of the, get political commentators in and all that and interview them. And
I've heard a lot about Bernard Hickey online.
Yeah, Bad Bear Economics.
He's definitely on the left of so-called left of the political world.
But interesting that you handed me this, Mick, because it says here. No record of climate lobby briefings, says Prime Minister. But he was questioned by reporters over this. We saw on TV news and on the Big Hairy News as well. And if he's in trouble or you think he's kind of not, he's telling a mistruth, kind of stutters.
Bit of a giveaway.
And if you actually meet up in an office of a minister, etc., they'd have to have a record of it, wouldn't they?
There's no paper evidence at all.
Oh, that they visited even, because they don't necessarily probably have to say what they talked about.
But there should be a record of it.
Who turned up. Yeah.
Because the Big Hairy News, Chewy mentioned... what happened to Claire Curran.
And
she was Minister for Broadcasting.
She was Labor, right?
Under Labor. She was a Dunedin Central MP, and she lost her job because incorrect diary record of her meetings with certain people. Carol Hirschfeld was one of them. I forget who the other one was.
So she got in trouble for not keeping a proper record, and these people didn't keep a record, and nothing said.
Yeah, so, and she lost her job. She may... She did it one time and she said, no, I haven't done any more like that. Second one came out and she was gone. Yeah.
Double standard again.
Yeah, so she didn't keep a record of it and that earned her the displeasure
because you're conducting business in the public interest.
That's
your job. That's what you get paid for.
So the person who allegedly had the information handed over to them, our so-called Prime Minister said, well, he no longer works for me. But an episode of the Big Hairy News or the BHN was saying that we checked the record of this person and apparently he still is.
Right. He's still up in the towers of power.
Yes, okay. Very much so.
Yeah. Hey, so, speaking of that, going back to they're talking about reducing the civil servants by 8,700 or something?
Mostly in Wellington, almost 9,000.
It has to be 1% of the total population. That's what they wanted.
They're trying to get down to that, number of civil servants.
This is always in cahoots with Seymour's attempt to reduce the number of ministries.
Yeah, minimal government.
Yeah, that's what he's a favourite of, minimal government.
But they'll still want to have their government for their beach house areas.
Oh, it's government
their,
for
the... Not for... The, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that last time.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a look.
It's the elites fixing... moving the goalposts. And
yeah. But it will have a big effect on the economy, because let's face it, if you're wandering along and you think, oh, my job might be not be around for the next week or in a month or 2 months, and there'll be redundancies, et cetera, or they won't reemploy.
Oh,
the civil service, they usually have fairly PSNAs, the PSAs got reasonably strong redundancy packages and that.
Yeah.
But, okay, you're still not going to be going, oh, I think I'll just shout all my mates and go out to tea. You're going to be a bit calmer, you would think.
Because you'd be hanging on to that money till you can get the next job.
Well, if there's a gap. Yeah. So that takes confidence down, doesn't it? You know?
Well, they sort of wrapped it up with the benefit stuff.
But there's also like this orchestration, all the system's broken. We'll have to, we'll have to privatise something, or, we have to put more government department business into the private sector.
And it's sort of
It's orchestrated, though. The whole thing's orchestrated.
But why does it have to be one of... Shouldn't we say, well, we need the public service to do the work that the society needs? It shouldn't be about how many percentages are in that. We say we need this work to be done on behalf of society. It takes,
There was this line, I don't know if it was from Willis or Seymour, but they're saying that we compare with other countries, our public service is high.
Yeah.
But there was I saw another graph where we were doing fine with our current ratio.
Well, Seymour was making a comparison between here and Denmark.
And Australia, I think it was.
And Denmark, they're down to something like 28 ministers or something.
Yeah.
Whereas here, what, 40 or something? 40-odd different departments and ministries?
But we sit fairly well compared to other countries.
And you've got to put it, okay, what do we get?
And the system's worked fine up until now.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about value for money and what do we get? As a society, we rely on all sorts of public...
So this change has been driven by ideology.
Of course it is.
By we know what ACT stands for. That stands for minimal government, which is a heavy...
Any government, if they can
ACT and the
which
ACT
also stands for looking after me, not thee.
That's why there's three tenets to minimal government: law and order, strength on that.
You still want government for that.
You want a shave off the public service.
Yeah.
And lower taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For certain individuals.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why the society goes to the docks.
Yeah.
Once it's happened.
But they know why it's going to the docks.
But they don't care. But they don't care because they live in gated communities.
They've orchestrated it.
Yeah.
And how dare these people rise up in rebellion? Oh, well, we need more police. We need more army.
Yeah, that's what they should. Yeah.
Welcome back to the feudal world of Europe.
Yeah.
Until somebody breaks down the...
14th century.
Until somebody breaks down the... What is it? What do they call it? The things that they used to come up and down on the castle.
Poor colours,
until they break down those down, they won't be in
trouble. I was thinking of the poop tubes they have on those
castles. Oh, that too. There'll be no one
to empty them if they don't really,
Oh, don't worry, they'll find someone who's lower down the train.
Is the poop
You've
scoop
been demoted, you're the...
The guard, don't they call them a guard house? I think they call them the guardhouses or something, for the... What do they call them? You still see them on the castles that are left.
You're the
king or the
You'd have
master.
A guardhouse by the portcullis and the drawbridge.
There's another thing for the toilet drop. Because was a drop.
Long drop.
You would just...
Literally, too.
Yeah, yes. And basically you'd sit out there...
Stories.
Yeah, and it'd go... Plop. Sorry to be so graphic.
It's substantiated by time team.
Yeah, right?
They came across one of those that was fossilised.
Yeah, and they actually picked up the product. Mm. Yeah, and went, 200 years old.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, beg your pardon, Your Majesty. Yeah, they still bent over. The Brits can't help it.
But the undermining of democracy is orchestrated, isn't it?
Yeah, undermining.
And it always sounds, it's an easy sell. And they always pick out something wasteful.
The key was like saving law and order.
Yeah.
Because it resonates with certain people who don't stop to think, well, what does that actually mean? Where's the details?
Yeah.
They don't bother to ask that.
Yeah.
They go, he must be right.
Yeah.
Yes, he gets my vote.
People don't see the wider picture.
Unfortunately, I sometimes wonder, I think democracy is wasted on some people.
I think democracy seems to be more and more manipulated.
Yes.
You're manipulated.
Until it becomes something else.
And it virtually is becoming something else. Money is basically deciding.
It's an illusion. Elections once every 3 years or 4 years, whatever, and go for the motions of a democracy, and then it's business
and
as usual.
And then they ignore it. Take the fast tracking, really. You have a democratic process, and suddenly we've got this fast tracking. And I did read somewhere where the businesses and people that donated to it, that some of them, of course, were caught up in fast track applications. What does that smell of?
Corruption.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The product that drops out of that big long castle.
That stuff,
Richards.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about this one, the lobbying before. And that secret meeting, which Luxon denies. So,
You know, that's the worry of it, is that, corruption seeps in. And we've already dropped down the table corruption we're not near the bottom, but
it's not, it's still not downwards. It's not a recommendation, is it?
No, it's not a great recommendation.
And even a smell of something like that won't help. That will cause it to drop.
Well, you need high trust societies need to be an open society.
Well, as I mentioned in the article about Starmer and Labour, trust is starting to be undermined.
Well, that's the danger. You lose that high trust. Yeah. And societies, once that high trust goes, they just become a mess. Take America,
We don't trust them, and people don't vote for them. That's why they don't trust them.
And Americans are now tearing each other apart politically at this stage, because systems have just don't work.
Broken down.
They're not. Mamdani is a bit of a light amongst all the what goes on. So it may evolve.
Just don't know.
No,
but all the dirty politics to get rid of within the Republicans to get rid of those who are not Trumpites. Replace them with his sycophants.
It just shows you the money that they're allowed to have. The Supreme Court said you're allowed to have money counts. You don't, so they can pour as much money into a campaign as people are prepared to do it.
Well, that breeds corruption.
So who does that help? The guy who can afford to buy a $5 sausage at a sausage sizzle, or the billionaire or millionaire who gives $100,000 or $100 million for that matter
for that campaign.
As long as they get something in return, because nothing. Yeah, it's never nothing for nothing. They want something for something.
That's why they say, because we got this sort of what I call an illusion. We don't really influence policy. That came from the New Zealand donations.
Yeah,
but
of course it does.
Do you,
of course,
do you,
money talks.
Money talks.
They're not donating $100,000 to the Nets,
unless you're a true.
You're still, even if you haven't got a specific, you're still donating to the cause,
to the
process.
I've scratched your back and you've scratched mine.
This will keep the same system we have. So we don't want to change the political system, of course.
We don't want these climate change measures put in place.
We just don't want to challenge how everything is.
That's what this thing smells of, corruption. And you talked about fast track. We've talked about under urgency. Under urgency has been what we call misused. It was used initially, as we said before,
The trouble is with that, you get democratic process, and then they go, we've got fast track. And then gradually, if it stays in, of course, it's like, well, that's why we do it. Why have the democratic process? We'll just fast track things.
We don't have the submissions.
I was wondering, if there was a change of government in a year, would things be any different?
Yeah, that's the issue.
Entrenched now that it's so complicated or too expensive to reverse engineer the whole thing?
And that can often happen.
Thing.
They can go, well, we don't like it, but it's such a mess.
Then the only opportunity they've got is to make amendments to bills, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you can tweak and change at the end,
And let's face it.
And that further undermines democracy, because people say, well, they haven't done anything. We waited 3 years, they've done nothing. Well, we're not going to vote for
them. We'll vote for the other guys. Yeah, and that's the danger, I guess. When I say the danger is probably the wrong word, but the reality is we know New Zealand First has pushed the fast tracking, etc. So even if Labor gets a good vote and the left does sort of win, but they're reliant on Winston for something, even if it's supply and demand or whatever, fast tracking will stay.
Yeah.
Labor and the Greens would have to get a big vote for be able to get rid of it. You know,
yeah, and they had a big butt last time. They kind of wasted it.
And that's their problem. That was a major problem, a major disappointment.
Yeah. They sat back in the lowers thinking, oh, well, we can do what we like, and they didn't do anything.
Well, no,
well, they promised lots of things, and it was impossible to...
I think Labor didn't quite realise how many people voted for them to avoid having the Greens when the Labor got their landslide.
They really believed they'd seen the light.
Yeah, and Jacinda did. You know, like Prime Minister Ardern was, oh, wow, they've all come to us. We must look after them. They hadn't come to them at all. They just didn't want the Greens in there.
She was so naive to think that. Right?
Yeah,
they anyway.
People still really hate the Greens.
And they do. I know that from my blue friends. You know, several of them did vote just so the Greens wouldn't be there, you know?
Well, the Greens, to me, are the voice of the, even though they may be more liberal, but the voice of the environment, the voice for, you know, protect the climate, protect the resources, What's wrong with that?
No, nothing. And to be fair, like...
But it doesn't seem to carry much traction these days.
No. Well, no, it doesn't.
But it has worked because... In the old days, you know, the environment just didn't seem to go anywhere apart from a few organisations like Forest and Bird. Mm. But now, of course, by having a Green Party, the Nats have a green sort of whatever.
Greenwashing now.
Yeah, and Labor does.
Lukewarm they wouldn't environmentalists.
They wouldn't have had that at all.
Of course not.
And even Fonterra, talk about the big companies.
But it's part of the branding.
Of course it's part of the branding, but they wouldn't have had that at all
if
there hadn't been a green push.
No,
but we get this but, back. Go back to this again.
Well, then you go back to let's just have a soft image of we've got an environmental division, and most people go, oh, Fonterra Environment says this. They don't go any further than that.
Yeah.
But to be fair to Fonterra, they have they are making inroads.
Paper,
I think there are cockies. Because let's face it,
I know there are.
There's a lot of cockies are doing doing better. So to say, and some are doing marvellously, of course.
There was one thing that really feared when I heard it on the news was it's to do with farming practices on the Canterbury Plains.
Yeah,
right.
That more farmers who are growing grain are moving away toward big
are gone dairy.
That's
where the highest part.
So
we're going to have to import more grain.
Yeah, grain, and how are we going to look after the
what, the rivers? What happens happens when a cow goes to the toilet?
Well, I mean, New Zealand might come up to the same standard that UK they've discovered water amongst the orchards.
Well, didn't they take the environmental thing down in Christchurch a few years back? And it's now an administration board because they took out the democracy side of it somehow. There was something going on there.
There's too much infighting.
Too much infighting, they said. But in the end, the Canterbury Plains, farming practices have changed. New Zealand, and that's evolvement, I suppose, whether it's good or bad. Look at New Zealand in the old days. We had sheep everywhere. And there was freezing works and there was shearers.
Arable farming here, though?
Huh?
Arable farming.
Down grains, the Canterbury Plains was known for arable farming. And so it was pork and curry.
So that shrunk.
I had to mention that because I saw there was he's a distant relation of mine. And they're right into that grain growing stuff.
And they're still there, but there's definitely dairy herds that made
more grain.
I imagine so.
Which is, given the current situation, means that's going to be even more expensive.
But you look at the geography of the place. You look at the geography and you look at the climate.
Yeah.
It's not suited to dairying.
Yeah.
It was for grain. It was made for grain.
Mixed farming. They called store sheep. They grew grain, they grew this and they grew that.
Really. Well, look at Southland as a real example. Of course, it was just all sheep country. It was cold and ideal sheep country and that. Then now Southland's a dairy farm.
Yes. You know? Just not
And associated problems with it. And dairy farming is, produces money for the country and for individuals some flow on to the rest of the country. But, of course, it also flows in pollution.
And you can't replace the environment.
No.
You've lost it, that's it.
Well, you can. There's mitigation methods, but it's huge.
And it takes an awful lot of time for nature to bounce back.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
What happens when it collapses? What happens then?
How do we balance it?
Although we were surprised during COVID how quickly nature bounced back in certain places, like off Singapore, dolphins are the first time in decades or something.
It does bounce back
because the water wasn't being polluted by stuff.
Yeah. Yes, you know, things can recover.
If given
unless
time.
They're extinct or
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's the, yeah. And on that note of extinction,
mm-hmm.
there was this thought about trying to bring back the moa through genetics.
Yeah,
I thought, well, but I there was somebody else who made the point, we shouldn't be doing this, we should be stressing the need to protect
what we've got
currently. Yeah. And they mentioned the kakapo. Yeah.
You know, let's talk about trying to bring back the Thylacine.
Those
sort of stuff. And dinosaurs.
Yeah. You just can't do it. It's not practical.
Well, yeah, and how much? Where's that resource coming to do it, and what are they doing it for?
And where are you going to put them?
Yeah.
But on a more negative nature note, did you hear about the poisoning of bird life, particularly pōkeko, with wheat?
No.
Just down the line.
Poisoned wheat.
Yeah, poisoned wheat, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, there's some haters. You know, there's haters out there.
The deems is a pest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they work, and they're protected under certain legislation that they're a particular type of wildlife, and the only time you can actually cull them is during duck shooting season.
Right.
Yeah. But there's, you know, you've had that in human history. In one of my ancestors' books, coming across on the sailing boat, came across, and they were shooting albatrosses for fun, to pass the time.
Mm. Jeez.
Yeah.
You know, this is in 1840 or something like that. Humans, not all humans, unfortunately, even these days, they see things as pests or not.
Well, they're to be exploited.
To interfere with them.
They couldn't sort of, I don't know if it was an accident where they put the seed in there to stop other things, or it was a deliberate act. And people who were responsible for it have remained rather mum.
Well, look at that thing in Australia in the early times when the first one, they were putting poison in flour for laying it out for the Aborigines in a certain part of Sydney or somewhere, Sydney area. That's verified. It was
awful. I would have thought the problem would be like grain farms would be rats and rodents.
Rodents, like they have in Australia, had that explosion of
mice plagues.
I've seen it. A river of rats and mice.
I've experienced it, yeah.
Wow.
The
numbers amazing. Are just staggering.
Yeah. And of course, the mice grow, then there's more rats, more snakes.
The populations fluctuate all the time.
Yeah, but is that a kilter with it? It goes like that, though.
So, things, you know, going back to grain farms and dairying, you know, there's a lot more dairy cows now and there's a lot less sheep. Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And there's money in it, but it's a bigger environmental cost, of course.
Money at the expense of our environment that we cherish, our clean green image.
Well, and it doesn't have to be if you can have a dairy farm, but you need not just one shit pond, effluent pond. You need effluent pond, then a series of swamp areas, etc.
Yeah, to mitigate it.
So you have to give up more land, basically. I'm off to the new jail that the government's going to build.
Is that right?
The Ministry for Vaseline.
Yeah.
Ministry for Vaseline. And on that note, we're out of here. You'll catch us on our podcast or on www.freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.